Good evening. As we all know, we have diverted to chapter 5, which we thought we had, and now we have the real chapter 5. I guess the other chapter 5 was an illusion, although it seemed to work pretty well. An activity of truth and consciousness, which he does mention in this chapter as well, so I have a feeling it was right on time. Now, this time I'm going to say definitely that this will be a long talk, and the reason is there is so much meat in this chapter. I think he packed in 35 years of experience in this chapter. Oh, and before we get started, I need to warn you that this chapter will separate the men from the boys, so to speak. The grown-ups from the children, let's put it that way, to be politically correct. Now, this is probably going to be very uncomfortable for all of us. I know it is for me. So now you can join me in my misery. And if it's too much, please feel free to write me a private email and tell me that you're going to bow out of this study for now. Maybe not forever, but for right now. And I won't remove your name from the list, so it'll still read 10 members, and nobody will know except me and thee. Because I tell you, this is going to take from you every prop that you have. It's going to stretch you to your limits. And if it doesn't, then you're just listening with your intellect and you're not ready for this anyway. But if it does stretch you, do you want to go for broke or stop here for a while? There's no condemnation, there's no judgment, there's no criticism attached to this in any way. I'm telling you, you are about to become very uncomfortable. So now I've warned you, if you do not turn back at this point, there's no hope. All right. Because there's so much in this chapter, rather than mark it all up, I'm just going to read it. And yes, I know you've read it already, but I can't see another way right now to do this. And if it comes to me to skip certain sections, we'll do that. In fact, we're going to skip the first two paragraphs and start with, "This will make it clear to you why we cannot demonstrate person, place, or thing. That is why we cannot demonstrate an automobile, or more money, or a good position, or a practice, or a student body. This will make it clear to you why we can only demonstrate God, because the demonstration is the bringing forth in practical experience of the one self." Now, right here, we need to stop, because there's a gem in there. So you can take that paragraph we just read and meditate on that and find that gem. I can tell you that it makes absolute sense, because if you could demonstrate any of these things, even conditions of harmony and health, wholeness and completeness, then of course you would have something that your brother and sister doesn't have, wouldn't you? And that's an impossibility because of oneness. So you cannot demonstrate any of these things, and it has to do with the practical experience of demonstrating the one self. And so now he gets into it. "If instead of this appearance called you, He's going to tell you what he does, how he meditates, how he practices this principle. So listen up, because you should be doing the same thing. If instead of this appearance called you, I can retire into meditation, into quiet, and perceive God as your being, or you might say God where you appear to be, then I will have demonstrated God as your experience. And since God is the embodiment of all good, the source of all good, the creative principle of all good, in demonstrating God, I have demonstrated your good. And then outwardly it will appear as the automobile, or the position, or the health. But do you not see why the demonstration of health or wealth must fail when it is attempted as if it were something separate and apart from God? And then he tells you in metaphysics you can go ahead and use hocus pocus and abracadabra and demonstrate these things, but it leaves you where it found you. And next week you may lose them again. And haven't all of us honestly, really discovered? Well, like Walter C. Lanyon said one time, I heard a speech he gave where he said, we must come to an end of demonstration after demonstration after demonstration. Oh, this week I've demonstrated good health and it was bad, so there's a proof of the principle. And next week I demonstrated supply where I was showing lack, so there's a demonstration of the principle. And the following week I demonstrated harmonious relationships where there was arguing, so there's a demonstration of the principle. And now I'm back to lack and limitation again, or another part of health has spoken up. You see? For most of this is not a couple of weeks. This is years and years and years of living this way. And there must come an end to demonstration after demonstration. And he's going to tell you how. But I'm afraid before the end of this chapter, you're going to realize that you have to die. And everything you thought you knew. So he says, when we sit back in meditation and forget about the automobile you need, or the money, or the health, we turn completely away from you. We turn within ourselves and wait and wait and wait. We wait for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. And if at the end of that time we have not felt a response within ourselves, we get up and go about some other duties. And then in an hour or 2 or 3, we return again to that inner meditation and just wait silently. It doesn't make any difference whether thoughts are coming or going around in your mind. We're not interested in that. We're just waiting silently until the voice of God utters itself within us. We're just waiting until we have an activity of the Christ or truth stirring within us. Now, what's going on in your mind won't stop that activity, and it won't. I've had thoughts and a feeling of the presence at the same time, and you probably have too. So we are sitting here waiting. And if it doesn't come in 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, again, we get up and go about our business. And 2 or 3 hours later, we do it again. Now, he's telling you what he does and did, and what you should be doing. Now, if it is necessary, we keep this up for 1 or 2 or 3 years. If so be that the Christ is so absent from us that it takes that long to realize it. But you may be assured of this, if you persist, the day will come when an inner response will come that will give you the assurance of a He that is within you, that which the Master called the Father within, and which Paul called the Christ. You get that feeling, that assurance, and when you do, you will have demonstrated your Christ self. All right, that in a nutshell is how you are to meditate. I wasn't going to get into this until the later chapters because I didn't think it was here until the later chapters, but now surprise, surprise, he brings it up here. Now, it's going to be in expanded form in the later chapters, I think 9 or 10, somewhere around there. And I was holding back until then. But since it's here now, we better start to cover this now. We are going to reach the place now, right now, where we turn within for no other reason than an experience of Christ, or the Father within, or the Spirit descending. The words aren't important. It's a transcendental experience. If you haven't had this experience yet, and maybe some of you haven't, then it is because you have learned this intellectually. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, don't get me wrong. We all have had to learn the letter of truth. But if that's all we have, we're going to be in a world of trouble, literally, because our prayers and meditations are not going to work. We may get a comfortable emotional feeling, a certain amount of calm inside, from stating these truths silently to ourselves over and over again, but that's not the Christ experience. That's an emotional calm. That's not my peace. That's not the Spirit. And how do we know? We know because the troubles continue. Now, I tell you, if you have had an actual Christ experience, your troubles are being dissolved. How do I know this? Because we are told, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's not just a pretty poetic saying. If you have a valid experience of the Christ, God itself, the Spirit descending upon you, or the I rising up within your being, you can use whatever words you want. If you have had a valid spiritual transcendental experience, a God experience, a God contact, you will know. First, by a feeling of assurance and release within. And always, second, by liberty. Some form of discord is dissolved. If your problems continue, and they don't change, and they're not budged, you haven't had the experience, and you better be honest about it. Now, that is why he says, if it is necessary we keep this up for 1 or 2 or 3 years, if so be that the Christ is so absent from us that it takes us that long to realize it, well then we'd better darn well do it. You see, there's no book that's going to save you. There's no man that's going to save you. No tape, no talk. The only thing that will save you is learning to stand still until you feel this inner activity of the Christ stirring within you. That's what will save you. Nothing you learn is going to save you. No truth that you learn. There will be no discovery that you make by reading a book tomorrow or listening to this talk or some other talk. The discovery you make, or let's put it this way, the value in these things, a book or a tape or a talk or a lecture, is it drives you back within yourself, perhaps to contemplate something you heard, such as that first part we read, because the demonstration is the bringing forth and practical experience of the oneself. Now that drove me back within myself to meditate on that, which brought an inner stirring. But it's the inner stirring that sets us free, that reveals Christ. Only Christ can reveal Christ. A man cannot do it. And so we are after that activity of truth in consciousness, as we said last week. We are after that stirring within. And so it is that every activity of truth felt within you at that instant becomes a law unto your patient or student and unto you. See, that's how you know it's an activity of truth and not, as we said last week, a mental activity of truth. Because it sets the captives free. All right? So you know first within by the inner release, and then you know without by the outer release. Christ has come to set the captives free. Captives from what? Captives to world mind, to these illusions. All right. Now let's see. There is but one selfhood. That selfhood is where I am, since I and the Father are one. All that God is, I am. All that the Father hath is mine. Now, with that understanding, I can dispense with all further thinking, and I can sit patiently and wait. Now, this is where our real work is done, in this waiting. If, sitting here, I attain the conscious realization of the presence of God, if I attain a feeling of the activity of the Christ within me, everyone in this room must feel that impulse. Everyone who is at all inclined to be receptive to the voice or the Spirit of God. So in that degree, this realized activity of Christ within me becomes a law of harmony unto you. And not only unto you. The realized Christ, the risen Christ, the activity of Christ within me becomes an influence in this entire world. All right, now, he's going to go into this in a minute. But I think if we've read that other book that talks, has a chapter called The Circle of Christhood, that you can see where Joel's dream was. His vision, let's say, not dream. Joel's vision was to see a circle of Christhood around this globe. Not a circle of people. That's not what the vision was. A circle of Christhood. Joel's vision was a circle of Christhood in which anyone, anywhere, reaching out would touch that circle of Christhood and have answered prayer, have an experience of the Christ. He knew, because he stated it dozens, well, probably thousands of times, there is no God in the human scene unless someone opens their consciousness to let that Christ through. So his vision was a few dozen students so prepared that they were able, as he just described here, to wait upon the Lord at any time of the day or night. So that someone, somewhere, different points around this world, were at all times there was an opening, and Christ was flowing. so that anyone, anywhere reaching out, would touch that Christ. And that was his vision. And he seems pretty adamant that it will work if there's enough of us to do it. And of course, he started this. He says later in this course that, is there such a group of students? Can we finally bring this to earth? Can we finally really have a circle of Christhood circling the planet so that anyone, anywhere praying earnestly touches that Christhood, whether a Buddhist, a Islamic, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Jewish person, a even maybe a non-believer, but somebody still praying? Is that possible? He says it is, and I believe him. Are we that group? We might very well be. If not that group, perhaps the start of that group. So with that vision in mind, he says, the realized Christ, the risen Christ, the activity of Christ within me, realized, becomes an influence in this entire world. And now we understand what realized means. Realized Christ means the feeling of the activity of truth in your consciousness, the movement of it, of spirit. All right, it can be with words or without words. It can be a tingling feeling, it can be an actual presence, it can be, well, many things, but by its fruits you know if it's real, because you are set free, or at least you are started in that direction. You're seeing improvement, you're moving in the right way. Now, I have no way of knowing at this moment where some receptive person in the world, it may be in a hospital, in a prison, maybe on a battlefront, it may be in a political office, it may be anywhere in the world where an individual is sitting pondering or saying, oh God, can you help me? Oh, is there a God to help me? Wherever an individual is reaching out for something beyond the human, the realized Christ of this moment reaches them. The more of the realized Christ there is in the world, the more the need of the world is being met. Now you see, he's stating here that, in a roundabout way without actually saying it, that the less of Christ is realized, the less of it there is in the world. So he's not one who says Christ is omnipresent, period. So what's your problem? He's one who says Christ is omnipresent where Christ is realized, where you go beyond that mental activity of truth to the actual experience of truth itself. That's where Christ is, and nowhere else. For Christ to be active, it must be realized. Otherwise, it's nowhere to be found. So, he says, the more of the realized Christ there is in the world, the more the need of the world is being met. You have no more idea what takes place through the realization of the Christ in you than I have. And I have but very little, although I have seen a great deal. All right. Now, he says, if I were to look around this room and think of the lives that have been touched by the infinite way in places where I was not personally known and nothing of a human nature came into the scene, where I just sat at home, abiding in this truth, realizing my conscious union with God, until the very flood of it took place within me, the feeling of it, the realization of it. And that's all I've ever done in my life in this work. You see that? You see that? Now listen. Someone called him for help. Will you help me? I have lost my job. My children are sick. I need help. Yes, I will go to work right away. Bam, he hung up the phone. That person was forgotten. No sympathy, no sadness, no love, nothing. Gone. He closed his eyes with one motivation, with one desire, to experience that Christ activity within. And he got quiet with a sentence or two, maybe no sentences, maybe just closed his eyes and said, "Father, speak." But he waited, and he waited until there was a stirring within. That stirring is what met the problem. When he felt that stirring, he dropped it. He's done with that case, and he moved on to something else. Now, what was I going to do? Oh, yes, I was going to have a cheese sandwich and some potato chips. So he went and he had them. No more thought on this. Then the person called him a while later, "Hey, I'm okay." Why? Because Christ sets at liberty them that are captive. It does. Or it's not Christ. Now, if the person called back and said, "I still need your help," he did it again and again. And sometimes he was able to see the picture dissolved, the appearance dissolved in one sitting. And sometimes it took 50. And he freely admits it. All right? This is the work. Your real work is waiting. See, all this time you thought knowing the truth had to do with knowing statements of truth, didn't you? That's not what Jesus meant. What Christ meant, know the truth and the truth will set you free. Ah, you know what he meant now, don't you? He meant, know by this inner feeling, this inner stirring, know with a different faculty within your being, this spiritual feeling, the spiritual experience, the stirring of the Christ, the presence announcing itself. Know that with another faculty that knows intuitively, that knows, that discerns. Know Christ's activity that way. Know the activity of truth within you, and that will set you free. See? We approached truth as humans, and we thought we could do this humanly. Surprise! That guy, that gal, has to die. Has to be so still. You know, it has to die in each meditation. Did you know that? I told you before, each one of these truths must be a truth about your life, but also it's a truth about each meditation. So you must die in each meditation. Die to any attempt to do anything. Stand so still that you're not there. You have died to everything but waiting. Waiting only for, well, the movement of the Spirit on the water. That's what sets at liberty the captives. And if you're a captive, that's what sets you free, and nothing else, and no one else. All right, now let's see. And so he says, "This I have been taught within." All right, now, sometimes, if you don't know it, but I think you do, but a reminder won't hurt, sometimes this spirit is nothing more than a feeling of the presence and the movement of spirit within your being, or through your being, or as your being. The words get tricky here. I'm trying to describe a fourth dimensional experience in three dimensional words. But if you've had it, you know what I'm referring to. Now, sometimes that experience happens just as a feeling of the presence, but sometimes it brings with it words. So sometimes the feeling of the presence is how Christ announces itself, and sometimes it comes forth as the Word of God, and you hear an actual scripture or something that you've never heard before, as in my case when I heard The mind of man is incapable of knowing the truth. Whoa! I knew that was right, because it had that feeling with it. After a while, you learn to distinguish, to discern between just a thought and the actual word within. You learn to distinguish between thinking and hearing your thought and receiving the word and feeling that. You really do learn to distinguish the difference. So, he says, I have been taught within. He's referring to receiving from that presence, that the day is coming when there will be a band of Christhood around the world, a circle of Christhood. Not persons, not people. I'm not speaking of that. I'm speaking of a band of spiritual consciousness around the world. And you know how it will get there? By these individual realizations of Christ. The Christ, as Browning tells us, is within ourselves, bottled up there. We must open out a way for the imprisoned splendor to escape. But if we open out a way for the Christ to flow from us, can it localize itself here and benefit only us? Or must it rush out to wherever consciousness is open to the Christ? Do you see that? Now, every time we sit in meditation, that's all 10 of us, whether we are alone or whether there are two or more gathered in this name, and we have no selfish purpose, we have only the desire for communion with God, and that realization comes to us, then we have allowed the imprisoned splendor to escape, and now it's out in the world and it's doing its own work. It is literally a presence that goes before this world to make the crooked places straight. It is the healing Christ. It is the Savior of mankind. Christ is the Savior of mankind. But Christ is locked up in our bosom until such time as we make a way for that to escape. And we do that through meditation and through realization. Then, when the feeling, the impulse comes, now it is out in the world. About the Father's business. And somewhere in this world, there are those reaching out for Christ and receiving it. So, do you see why we do not demonstrate persons, places, and things or conditions? We demonstrate the presence, the activity of the Christ, period. And then let the Christ do all the performing, adding to or destroying in the outer world. Because the Christ destroys everything unlike its own nature and character. And what can that possibly be except the belief of a selfhood apart from God? Do you see that? And do you see the vision he had? Do you want to be a part of this vision? Then you will have to join me. You will have to die. Now, he talks about he does not believe that this is an experience that is possible to everyone on the globe. Does not believe that everybody on earth is fertile soil. But eventually they will be. But for right now, there must be a band of students that are prepared and ready to do this. All right. And then he talks about how one of the evidences is that if you are studying truth for 30 minutes a day, 20 minutes a day, and that's enough, you're probably not ready. If you have almost a bottomless hole, and you can go on and on 4, 5, 6 hours, and still feel just as interested in this. Perhaps have several meditations during that period. Read a little bit, another meditation. Listen a little bit, another meditation. Read a little bit, another meditation. Take a walk, another meditation. If that's you, you're probably ready. All right then, let us assume that those who have been, by their studies and meditation, spiritually prepared, the time must be now for the awakening of the Christ. the rising of the Christ in them. And you can know when it happens by its fruitage. Okay, he's going to say what I said earlier. There must be healings. There must be comforting. There must be risings out of sin, lack, and poverty, and disease. There must be good coming into the experience of those who seek you, not necessarily those you would like to save. All right. So, you know if it's real by its fruitage. Let's not kid ourselves. Now look. I am death on this. Either the principles are showing up by this inner release, which also then appears as fruitage out here, or it's not real. It's imagined. It's just an emotional experience that you had, but not the Christ, not the real deal. So if your problems are continuing, then you need to go back to the drawing board and say, well, okay, all right. I thought I had it, but I don't. So now let me get back to work. Now, I've had a situation in my life that's annoyed me, and I have said, if this is not resolved, then I don't have this thing. I'm going to stop making these talks, I'm going to close down the mystical principles list, and I'm going to go back to work. I don't care if it's 10 years, 20 years, 30, on the other side of the grave. I am going to have this thing. I am going to have it. And what is this thing? I mean the actual ability to turn within, get quiet within a minute or two, move aside, and experience this activity of Christ, the movement of spirit. I'm going to learn to do that when people call on me as well. And I don't care what it costs. I don't care. I am going to have this thing. And even if I don't succeed this life, I'm going to have it. When I leave here, I'm going to track down that Joel Goldsmith fellow, whatever he is, whatever name he's using, whatever alias he's using on the other side of the veil, if he's there. I am going to find him. I'm going to ask him, what did I miss if I don't get it this time? I am going to have this thing. That's how I feel about it. It's been driving me for a long time. Now, as a kid, I was barely a teenager. I had several deep, powerful spiritual experiences in a row. And it resulted in me knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt, one, that there is a God. Not because so-and-so says so, not even because Jesus said so, but because I experienced it and have experienced it over and over again. Two, it showed me that I am one with that, that that is the I of my being, that is my true identity. I am just as infinite and immortal and eternal. But the man that I was listening to, which was Herb, and I went in different directions. And after a while, he passed on. And I got interested in this world. I wanted to have the woman of my dreams. And I got her. I have her. And every area of our life together is good. I'm not saying she's perfect, but she's perfect for me. And we balance each other out wonderfully. And then I wanted to have a home in the mountains that I dreamed of since I was 15. And I got it. I got all of it. A beautiful house next to a waterfall on 50 wooded acres in the Appalachian Mountains. I got it. And then I wanted to have, now this is not in chronological order, mind you. I'm just telling you the things that distracted me. Then I wanted to have a college education, so I got 3 degrees. And then I wanted to make a certain amount of money, so I made $1 million in over a seven-year period. Granted, I had employees and I paid a lot of it out, but I lived good. I could walk into anywhere and on my signature have immediate $5,000 to $10,000 in credit. Or more, maybe 20, sometimes 30. Well, that was fun. And then I wanted to have better health because I was smoking and 80 pounds overweight. I got it. I quit smoking, I lost the weight. So I sought health, I got it. I sought the perfect companion, I got it. I sought the house I always dreamed of, I got it. Everything I ever wanted, I got. I even wanted to see if I could learn these principles well enough to teach them. I got that too. I wrote a couple of books. I went out to California, Florida, Georgia. I gave classes. Everything I have ever wanted, I got. Everything. There's only one thing I missed. And that was a continuous God experience. And so several years ago, I think maybe 10 now, I decided I had better go back to the drawing board. I missed something. First, I went to see Virginia Stevenson. I met with her privately. I said, Virginia, this, this, and this. Now, what am I missing? She said, have you ever meditated on God as love? I said, yes. One of the most powerful experiences I ever had came from that meditation. Then she said, well, I have nothing to give you. She said, but we can meditate if you like. I said, yes, let's do that. So we meditated together, and the principle that I was working with right at that second, for the past few days before I met with her, I was studying spiritual interpretation of scripture in the back of the book, The Real Sense of the Universe. And I was studying where it says that that which we see, hear, taste, touch, and smell is not the real universe. Anyway, I didn't tell her that. We simply meditated together. After we opened our eyes, she said, I feel there's something you should have. And she got her copy of Spiritual Interpretation of Scripture, and she said, have you read this chapter? And I said, yes, I'm working with it right now. Anyway, that afternoon class that she gave was on that chapter. And I learned that the answer I was going to have would have to come from within. So I went back to the drawing board. I started all over just as if I was a brand new student. And I had read Infinite Way books for 20 years or 25 years at that time. I started all over. I started with practicing the presence. I very meticulously read everything the way we're doing this, underlining and highlighting and meditating on a paragraph when it hit me, sometimes for a few days before going on. Then I went to the art of meditation. Then I went to the art of spiritual healing and realization of oneness, and I really stayed with those for a few years. And every time something would hit me, I would have an impartation from within. I would stay with that for days or weeks or months. My journal is filled with things that came to me over that period. There's a 3, 4, 5 year period now, I think, that covers only about 21 pages. And in it are things like those wisdoms in the back of the Infinite Way. Why I'm telling you all this is I am trying to stress the fact that this is a serious deal. If you want this, you have to follow the directions. And all of that studying got me to the place where I am today, which is I am learning to turn within and become silent within a few minutes, most of the time, until I feel that actual stirring within. Now, what I am learning is when I am presented with an appearance from someone else, there's only one self. I don't have to give a treatment to them or for them. Because there's only one self, I can dismiss them. I can have the same experience of turning within until there's a movement of spirit. And the result is the same as if I'm doing it so-called for myself, because there's only one self. Okay? Now, this is going to be two talks. I can see that, and that's okay. All right. In our infinite way circle, there must be those who are ready now to say, yes, you're right. We've certainly talked enough and heard enough about this Christ. And we surely have faith that it's true. When the Christ is here, all things are added or all things are included. But now, how about not talking quite so much about it and demonstrating a little bit more of it? Why be satisfied with whatever tiny measure of it we have yet experienced? Because there are serious days ahead of us. The infinite way work could expand tremendously if it were permitted to. All right, now he goes on to say that it's growing and growing, and he's a little bit nervous about it because there are not enough students to handle the demand. There are not enough students ready at this point, 1955, to create that circle of Christhood. And he says, when I spoke on television in Chicago, and the response was so tremendous that I had to refuse to go back. Because the question is, well, you keep talking about healing, can you really heal us? And then I had to go back into the shell. See, he had to sort of hide and become anonymous again. And incidentally, if any of you know or can track down how to get a copy of this, well, I guess in 55 it would have been live television, huh? That's a shame. Wouldn't it be nice to have a copy of the black and white version of him going on television? I'd like to see that, since I never saw him in person. But this might have been during the time of Milton Berle and some of the other howdy-doody live shows when there was no recording. But if there was a recording, it should be interesting to have it. Now, he is telling us that his vision is to create a circle of Christhood. And he's taking this group of students, and therefore you are included, up to the place where they can be a part of this band of Christhood. All right. The first chapter of the book, Living the Infinite Way, tells you that the infinite way is not a teaching. It is an experience. But that's only true in the case of those of us who have experienced it. To the others, it is still a teaching. But we must make it literally true that it isn't a teaching. It is an experience. And the very moment that you are able to meditate long enough to have this experience, actually feeling and witnessing the Christ in action, that is the moment then that you can say, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I can give you rest. This whole set of classes, I repeat, is designed to lift you above the mental activity to that place of stillness where you ascend up over the mind and become a witness, a beholder, and discernment takes over and you feel the actual Christ, the descent of spirit, the Holy Ghost upon you, in you, through you, as you. You feel it with a new faculty, nothing to do with the mind. And by the end of this class, you will be experiencing that, or you will have dropped out because it scares you too much. All right. That's okay. Two, it means you're not ready, perhaps in another season or in another life. So, this inner experience, this activity of truth, is what he is leading all the students that are ready, that are prepared, to. Now, remember, when I said in these periods of meditation, two or three periods of meditation each day, in which we will not take our problems, or our families, or our friends, or the nation, or world peace, or anything else, we merely go for a realization of God, for that pure, pure realization with no purpose, not that we want God to do anything for us or anybody else, not that we're seeking anything, just for the pure realization. Now, the reason for that is this. What's behind that is this. My conscious realization of my oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being and idea. In other words, when you succeed in making that contact, the real contact with God, remember, you have made your contact with everyone, with you and you and you and you all over the globe, because in your spiritual identity you are one with that, which I now have realized. So, again, you will be a part of a, if you really learn how to make the real contact, you will be a part of a band of Christhood. And incidentally, I know there are several of you that have. I can feel it. I can feel it from here. Because one of the gifts of the Spirit is the ability to feel that. I can feel it. Alright. Again, he explains, The moment I realize, make contact with the infinite invisible, I have made contact with my supply, my home, my companionship. Okay, here's how I see that. This is what he means by my oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being and idea. It means you don't go to God to give you liberty. Remember, he's told us in the past, we do not get free from a problem. We find our freedom in Christ. Because Christ includes absolute freedom. It's not that that freedom is added. It's not that you seek the kingdom of heaven or this inner Christ experience and these good things are added onto you. That's the way they wrote it because they didn't understand it when they were interpreting the Bible. It's that all these things are included. They're included. If you go to God and experience you have this God contact, this God experience, freedom is included. Supply is included. Companionship is included. Life, health, love is included. Body is included. Mind is included. Spirit is included. Soul is included. Fulfillment is included. The kingdom is included. It's all included. It's a package deal. So we don't go to God to add something to us or to remove something. We drop that picture entirely. We go to God for God alone, and then we discover, not by asking, but by the actual experience, that these things are included. Every good and perfect gift is included. When you're standing in the kingdom, standing in the presence of God in this inner experience, it is included. You see that? And if anybody has reached out to you, well, of course, there's only one self, so it's self reaching to self, and it is included for them too, because it's included wherever that self is appearing. All right? Now, the moment I realize, make contact with that infinite visible, I have made contact with my supply, with my home, with my companionship, with every rightful spiritual activity of existence, because all of these are included in the infinity of God. Therefore, I do not get at one with what I shall eat or drink today, and wherewithal I shall be clothed tomorrow. I do not get at one with health in this meditation, and at one with home in the next meditation. I do not get at one with physical, mental, moral, financial healing in the next one. But in the contact with the infinite visible, I have made contact with infinity, with the allness of being. And that appears to our senses as added things, the things necessary humanly in our experience. That's only how they appear. It's included, but it appears added. You see? But we don't seek the appearance of added. We seek the experience of included. You get the difference? Listen to that. We don't seek the added. We seek the experience of the included. Alright? So you go to God for God, period, and see what's included by discovery. Not by asking, thinking, planning, plotting, scheming. Not by wanting something added out here. Get it through your head. My kingdom is not of this world. Ever again. Ever again. Ever again. We're making the discovery, as Thomas said in the Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of St. Thomas. The inside is the outside, and the outside is the inside, right? Or the outside is the inside, and the inside is the outside. He was right. He quoted Christ. Christ is right, of course. This which appears out here to be a life, or a person, or a condition, or a thing, this is a misperception, an error in judgment. What did he call it? He called it a... That's right. He called it a deceptive state of thought. That's what this is out here. It's really within. It's really inside. It's a deceptive state of thought in the mind, pumped in there by the world mind. By thoughts that are just floating around. All right, now, inside is this God contact, this spiritual presence, this movement of spirit. And it appears out here as the added things, but it's really all included within already. It just appears as the added things. So the inside is the outside, and the outside is the inside, because only Christ is out here. You live and move and have your being in God. You see that? All right, now. So they appear to be the added things, but they're really included in this God contact. All right. This is where we'll pause.